As we tell the familiar stories of the Advent and Christmas season, and we perhaps begin to set up our manger scenes and prepare them for Christmas in our houses, we see the familiar figures of the story with the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, and the baby Jesus, the donkey, the oxen there. We see the little sheep. But the one person in the story who often gets overlooked, I think, but yet is a central part in each one, is the Holy Spirit. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as Christmas is so close, I thought today we might reflect a little bit on the Holy Spirit's role in our story of Christmas, and indeed the story of salvation, but especially to see it through the eyes of Mary. For Mary is called the spouse of the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever I celebrate a wedding, I like to talk specifically about what are the qualities of married love. What does it mean for two people to be spouses of each other? And really, there are four qualities that set married love apart from any other kind of love. We can have strong emotional feelings, but that's not really love, not married love. Married love has four qualities about it that make it unique. It is free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Free, total, faithful, and fruitful. And if we look then to say that Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, we ought to be able then to see those qualities in the relationship between Mary and God, between Mary and the Holy Spirit. If we look at freedom, we notice first of all that God does not need us. God is supreme. He did not have to create any of us. And indeed, he did not even need to give us a second chance after we fell in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned against God. God is completely free. And in order for love to really be love, it too must be free. So even though God had been planning for all eternity to bring about the birth of the Savior through Mary, he still leaves Mary free to cooperate in his plan. And so in that beautiful mystery of the Rosary, in which we recount the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, we notice that God comes to Mary and makes her an offer. Will you be the mother of Jesus? And we hear those beautiful words of Mary, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to thy word." Mary freely cooperates in God's marriage proposal. Secondly, married love is total. Only in marriage do husband and wife give themselves completely to each other and hold nothing back. Indeed, a marriage cannot be a marriage if one or the other holds something back. So when Mary says yes to God, she says yes with her whole being, and she holds nothing back. And indeed, it wasn't just when Gabriel came that Mary first said yes to God. Although it's not in Scripture, we have other readings that remind us that Mary probably would have chosen to say yes to God from the time she was very young, choosing to be consecrated as a virgin in the temple. And indeed, we honor her throughout her life as the Blessed Virgin Mary. Virginal in that she was given completely to God and to none other. Her gift to God was total. Finally, her love is faithful. Faithfulness is the mark of marriage. Because the gift given is total, husband and wife must be faithful to each other to protect that total gift of self. Mary, like none other, shows faithfulness. Faithfulness because not only is she able to be there in the joyful moments of Christ's life that we celebrate at Christmas, but Mary was faithfully there even when she did not understand when Jesus was a very young boy and he was lost in the temple. Mary, above all, was faithful as we find her at the foot of the cross. She was faithfully there with the apostles at Pentecost. and Mary remained throughout her life and to this day faithful to God. She didn't always understand God's plan, but she understood the God who had planned it, and so she remained faithful. Finally, married love is fruitful. Married love is free, total, faithful, and it is fruitful. In order for married love truly to be married love, love cannot be turned in on itself. It's always diffusive of itself. When someone is in love, they always go out of themselves. What can I do? They're so excited to express this love that it gives off a fruitfulness that spills off into the other. Indeed, in married love, we say that the love between husband and wife becomes so real that that fruitfulness becomes another person. And 9 months later, you have to give that love a name because it has become a new person as husband and wife are able to see their love become incarnate in their children. So in the unique spousal relationship between Mary and the Holy Spirit, we see then the love between Mary and God, and indeed the love between God and his love for us, it becomes incarnate in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the love of God incarnate. God's love is fruitful, and through Mary's yes, through Mary's total gift of self, her faithful trust in God, she becomes fruitful. Although she remains a virgin for her whole life, she becomes the most blessed mother of all mothers to give birth to Jesus Christ, God's love incarnate. What then is the purpose of this great spousal relationship between God and the Blessed Virgin Mary? If it were merely to be this great image for us to look at and admire, well, that would be a very beautiful thing. We can look at Mary and the Holy Spirit and say, isn't that beautiful the way God chose to work through her? But that's not the full story. God gives us Mary that we might look at her and particularly see in her the great model of Christian life. Yes, Mary is uniquely the spouse of the Holy Spirit, but we are called to live a similar life. If we look at what is the fruit of Mary's marital union with the Holy Spirit, we see in our gospel today this fruitfulness, this diffusiveness. As soon as Mary hears the words from Gabriel that she is to be the mother of God, does she turn in on herself and say, oh my goodness, I'm going to be the mother of God. I've really got to now be alone and prepare by myself. No, Luke tells us that Mary immediately traveled with haste to the hill country to Elizabeth. This love that Mary has causes her to reach out to the other. True love never turns in on itself, but always looks to the other. Mary proceeds with great joy to her cousin Elizabeth. That is perhaps the best message that we can see. A life lived in union with the Holy Spirit is always marked by joy. If we were to describe Mary, she is the woman of joy. We always see wherever we find joy, it is the sure mark of the Holy Spirit. Mother Teresa reminds us of that. The most clear sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in someone is joy. So we see Mary proceed with joy to Elizabeth. What happens when Elizabeth hears Mary? John the Baptist leaps with joy in her womb, and it says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. These two women are filled with joy, and St. Luke tells us plainly that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is perhaps the forgotten and often least reflected upon person in our Christmas scene. This Christmas, let us draw close to the Holy Spirit through the example of Mary. Do we find that perhaps we lack joy during this Christmas season? If so, perhaps it is because we have not freely chosen to cooperate with God's plan. Perhaps we, like Mary, have not totally given ourselves to God as she did. Perhaps we have not been faithful to God's plan. Perhaps, like Elizabeth, before she received the Holy Spirit, we are barren because we refuse to allow God to make us fruitful. We ask God in this Advent season, then, with Mary as our model, to make our love perfect, that we might give ourselves freely, totally, faithfully, and fruitfully to God, and that He might then give us His Holy Spirit in abundance, that like John the Baptist, like Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah, we too might leap for joy at the presence of Jesus, the love of God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us.